There's everybody been watching the news. You heard about what happened in Buffalo yesterday. There are no words that I can say except we need to pray for those families. But I'd ask you to stand, and I want you to stand and pray with me this morning. You have a lot to be thankful for today. That could have happened in Derby. That could have happened in Shelton or Ansonia. That could have happened wherever you were yesterday. That could have happened. You say, Lord, thank you for this day. This day wasn't promised yesterday, and everything that could have happened didn't happen, and you're here. He brought you here. So if you're here today, I pray you receive everything that we preach today. And I pray that my words are from the Bible, and that my thoughts are from the Bible, and that you receive God's message today, and that it changes your life and it glorifies God. We come here today to lift up God, to read His Word, to sing, and have a good time in the Lord. So let's celebrate today, because this is our day with the Lord and with each other. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's give God some praise, church. Thank you. There you go.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I...
Rise among us, and the praises of our King. Rise among us.
you came here today, receive him. You watched a tragedy on TV, and it's sad. We watched about Buffalo this morning, and you know what they forgot? Just one night earlier in Milwaukee, 20 people were shot outside the basketball game. Somehow they're not even talking about that because something else happened the day after that. So you've got to thank God that you're here today. That yesterday could have happened in Cheshire. It could have happened in Derby. It could have happened in Shelton. It could have happened in Seymour. It could have happened in the South Seymour Shopping Plaza. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here today. Let me receive more of you today than I thought possible. Thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's your promise from our Father in heaven. Give him praise if you want. I thought Chuck and Marilyn would be back today. Marilyn said they're feeling better, so I'm happy for that testimony. Praise God. Let's have some fun this morning. In your bulletin, Marilyn has the responsive reading. That's pretty cool. It's where I read and then you read and I will read. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Yes, I do. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You know, you're reading God's word. Isn't that cool? You're reading out of the Bible. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Great. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Oh, you learn that because God will give you the coins of gold and silver. He will give you the desires of your heart. Search him out first. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. In response to reading 119, I think you all understood what we just read. People say, I don't understand the Bible. I said, what don't you understand? That he loves you? That he cares about you? That we need to care for each other? How many love their neighbor? How many can say they love their friends? How many love people that come against them? Whoop! There go the hands, folks. How many would pray for somebody evil? How many would pray for the most evil of people? Whoop! There go. Miss Baker. I had somebody in our church before where I used to go. The pastor would say, we're going to have Tuesday night Bible study. How many want to go? Raise your hand. Wednesday night we're going to have this. Oh, Thursday night we're going to have me. Oh, they raise their hand for everything and show up for nothing. Good intentions, I guess. Amen? We don't want to get so busy that we take you from your home. We don't want to get to a place where you just, you need to feel like this is where you belong on a Sunday. Bible study on a Tuesday night. We had a great Bible study. We have great fellowship on Tuesday night. We get to talk to one another. And you get to express yourself. It's a lot of fun. Maybe one night we get Lily and Zippy to come just one Bible study, just to have you part of it. King Nebuchadnezzar, one of my favorite names in the Bible. Please don't name your son Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, if you want to, it's great. But see, parents don't think about their kids when they send them to school. People with a last name Williams named their son William Williams. I said, he's in for trouble. King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a tree. The holy messenger told him to keep what part of the tree intact. He had a dream about a tree, and the holy messenger told him to keep a part of the tree intact. Did he tell him to keep the branches intact, the stump intact, or all the leaves intact together? How many think it was the branches? He said, keep the branches intact. How many think it was the stump? Keep the stump intact. How many think it was all the leaves? There you go. The stump was the kingdom to be restored after he repents and acknowledges God. He means that nothing That just says that you can be restored. How many understand that now? See, he's saying keep the stump just like that because God can restore the stump. Amen. Who cares about the leaves and the branches? If you have the stump, you got the tree back. That's you. Everything that you've done in your life, you can repent and be saved from that. That's our God. King Darius commanded his kingdom to pray only to him for how long? King Darius commanded his kingdom to pray only to him. Was it 10 days? Was it 30 days? Or was it 60 days? King Darius commanded his kingdom to pray only to him for 10 days. How many think it was 10 days? How many think it was 30 days? Anybody want to say 30? How about 60 days? You pray for me for 60 days. Anybody know that story?
No.
Yeah, that's about David. See, the bad guys went to the king and said, David's praying to this his own God. You've got to make a law that for 10 days that the people just prayed for you, only it was 30 days. For 30 days, that you make a law, king, say nobody can pray to any other God but you for 30 days. And they knew what they would do, and they went out and they caught him praying. They caught Daniel praying to who? His God. And they went and told the king, you made a law. You made a law saying if anybody prayed against anybody but you for 30 days, you throw in the lion's den. And Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. Who saved him? God saved him. And what happened to those people who judged him and told him that? In the lion's den they went. Amen. Don't talk to me about God's wrath. Amen. Right, Brother John? The liars had to go, and the king sent the liars into the lion's den. And the lions weren't as friendly to them as they were to them. The wrath of God, you stand back. When God has promised you something or said something, he's going to do something, you stand out of the way because his wrath, right there, nothing. See, they were trying to cheat him. They were trying to trick him. You can't trick God. One more for today. Paul lists three things as doing, as being the kingdom of God. In Romans, he lists three things as being the kingdom of God. Which one is not part of that? Righteousness, joy, or love? Paul lists three things as being the kingdom of God. Which one is not a part of the list? How many think righteousness was not a part of the list? How many think it was joy that was not a part of the list? Anybody want to say love that was not a part of the list? Praise God. The three, righteousness, joy, and peace. Love was not part of the list. How about that? I got one more, but you don't get it right anyway. I'll give it to you next week. Praise God. Good morning, Phil and Judy. Good morning, y'all. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. I do a sermon, I do a study. I said, what can we talk about? What can we learn today? How can I bring it to you? And how can I make it be like from God? What can we learn? I want to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. So I said to myself, well, I want to dig deeper because everybody knows the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's going to take me a while, and I'm going to dig deeper so I can have something to tell you maybe that you didn't learn that was going to be. And I had one thing in mind as I was going to preach Sodom and Gomorrah, the point that I wanted to get to that really concerned you. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? I'm putting this sermon together about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know everything about. And I said, I got to find something they don't know. And I never got near that subject. I have here in front of me 10 pages. And I have pages at home, and I did not get to the part I wanted to get to. So evidently there were other things to learn about Sodom and Gomorrah that I learned, and I was just like, but that's God. I don't care what you think you know. If you read his word and learn and dig, you're going to learn something else. Like David said at the Bible study, you see it differently. You start, you might not even thought that in the beginning, and then you see it somewhere else, and all of a sudden you learn more, amen? The wrath of God. Woo! Woo! Right, John? I know. So what can we learn about Sodom? We know the story. What did I miss? What can I learn? How does it pertain to me? Oh. And then another question in Sodom and Gomorrah is, why does God make it Abraham's business? Anybody ever think that? See, God talks to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. You wonder, we're going to learn that. Maybe I'll look to learn that something. Why does he make it? See, he believes Abraham. He believes in Abraham. Abraham's proved himself by Abraham's faith. So sharing the story of Sodom and Gomorrah with Abraham, sharing this with him allows Abraham to act and to deal with God. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I say, imagine showing Abraham how much he trusts him. Can you imagine that God takes Abraham aside and tells him what he's going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah? That's trust, amen? Why would he tell him that? He doesn't have to tell him that, but he tells him that. He trusts him because he is worthy. Wow. So I ask you this morning, how many of you did God trust like that? Imagine that. God went to him and told him about evil, terrible, ugly people, and he trusts him. How many here pray for evil, ugly people? Anybody here pray for the evilest, the most, you know? Thank you, Faith. Y'all don't? Maybe this is a good story after all. What would you do with powerful information from God? You see? That's my question. What would you do, Jim, with powerful information about people who are evil? People with so much sin. And God shared that with him. Amen? What would you do with that? Did you think of that? So everybody thinks that, see, Sodom and Gomorrah, the story starts when God, but it starts actually way back in Genesis 17. You see, the story starts, and this is where it gets interesting. 17 said, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So who does he say he is? Almighty who?
God.
So the Lord appeared. I don't know if you thought about this, David. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Who's talking to Abraham?
God.
It is Jesus. How many have ever seen the Father? Jesus said, no one has ever seen the Father, right? Nobody has ever seen the Father. So we know that nobody can look at the face of the Father. But he calls him Lord. It is Jesus before he was born incarnate. Before, this is Jesus talking to Abraham. Abraham recognizes who he is. He says it right there. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am Almighty God. Who's Almighty God? Jesus. And I know see, you already learned this summer, or you're going to dig into something deeper now. It's Jesus that goes to Abraham. We know that because nobody has seen who? The Father. I am Almighty God. And he tells him all the things he's going to do for him. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Wow. And then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. Who talked to him? God. Who's God? Jesus. He sees Jesus just like we did after he was born with Mary and raised. He lived before all that. Amen? The Bible said Jesus was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen? So Jesus was. Dig it up, leader. And this is just so cool. He's talking to Abraham. He said, after me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. How many?
Many.
No longer shall your name be Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come to you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. You better cheer right there, because that's you. For an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Wow. So Abraham already talked to God. This has got nothing to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. But you needed to know this part first. You see, this is the part that you needed to know first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So now we go to Genesis 8. And Genesis 18 starts with this. Then the Lord appeared to him by the taberah tree of Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Who did he come to? Abraham, the second time. And Abraham knows him now, amen? That's how you understand. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran to the tent door to meet them. And he bowed himself to the ground. There were three men. How many three? There was Jesus with two angels, amen? The three of them. But he recognized the Lord because you already know in Genesis 17, he talked to who?
Jesus.
Thank you. Talked to Jesus. And he said, my Lord, if I have not favor in your sight, do not pass by one of your servants. He's still not there to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. He's there to talk about who? Sarah. And then he says, please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Isn't that interesting? What does he tell him to do? Wash your what?
Wash your feet.
Remember that? How many remember the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? Because your feet get what?
Dirty.
Not your body, not your hair, not everything else, but he says, wash your feet. He didn't have my sandals from. My sandals weren't invented yet. And Lyndon Elliot or whatever his name was. So he says, let me get some water and wash your feet. And he said, rest. And this is great. This is something else you're going to miss. And I love this. I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by in so much as you've come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine men and knead it and bake cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender good calf, and gave it to the young men, and he hastened to prepare it. And here we go. So they took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they ate. They ate. The angels ate. Jesus ate. When you go to heaven, guess what you're going to do? Eat. You're going to be normal. You're going to have a body that needs food. You won't need food like you need it today. But the angels ate. Who ate with the angels? Jesus. He ate. You made a big deal about it when it was with Thomas at the dinner and he sat down, he had the honeycomb and drank some wine. Right here, Jesus is with Abraham, and what's he doing? Eating meat. Eating lamb, eating bread, drinking some water. The angels. That little thing to me is huge. I mean, you could have read, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, but did you know the angels ate? No. Well, why is it important to know? Because someday you're going to be in heaven with a glorified body. Someday after your salvation day, your celebration, and you're going to eat some. Maybe the first thing he said, come on, wash your feet. No, he won't say that. But they'll prepare. The Bible says he prepares a table for us. Why would he prepare a table for us if we're not going to what?
Eat.
I think it's fascinating. I want to do a study on Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm stuck on the fact that the angels of Jesus are eating, and then he's sitting with Abraham, and Jesus is sitting together. Abraham and Jesus, they're pals. Okay, Renee. And 1866. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom. Oh, there we go. And Abraham went with them to send them on their way. Abraham, kind of the gentlemanly thing to do when you have company over back in that day, is you kind of travel with them. Come when they leave and they walk, you sort of walk with them a little while just to say thank you and to share one more time together. It's kind of like a nice thing, like when you walk somebody to the door and you go out in the driveway and you wave to them. That's kind of like, but he, back then they didn't have any cars, or they weren't making it. There was no Teslas, no electricity, so they had to walk. So they walked, and he walked with them. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's another thing you need to know, that you can walk with God and just walk with him. They said, they rose, looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And listen to this. This is in the Bible in Genesis 18, Gene. I know you love reading. 18:17. It says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Did the Lord not know what he was going to do? Is Jesus asking himself a question? Is it great? How many times have you asked yourself a question? The Lord says, shall I hide? He's saying, shall I hide from Abraham? Did Jesus not know what he was going to do? This is interesting, right? I mean, think about it. But you got to remember, he was telling this to Moses. How many remember Moses wrote Genesis? And Moses was at the burning bush. You all remember that, right? And he spent months with God, and then he went back up, and God told him all these beautiful stories. Did God put that in there for us to know that God is thinking like that? He's expressing his own thought to us. God is expressing a thought to you that if you never read in the Bible, never thought he ever do that. Shall I hide? Right there. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am going to do? He already told him he's going to make him all these wonderful things he's going to do. He promised him to be all these things with nations. So he's thinking to himself, but he's not. He's just letting us know that that's a thought that God had. And since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the ways of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to." And then he says this in 20. "And the Lord said to Abraham, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is even great, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry. It has come to me, and if not, I will know." He tells him the outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah. But think about this. It couldn't come from Sodom and Gomorrah, because we're going to find out how many righteous people there were there. How many here today have seen God Bless America? How many pray for people in New York, pray for people in Atlanta, Chicago? You pray for things. You see, that's the outcry. What God is hearing is the outcry of his people over what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Obviously, the more I read this and the more I study, I realize there weren't a lot of people in Sodom and Gomorrah praying to God for anything. But the outcry, we cry, God bless America. We're asking God to bless things 3,000 miles away. That's called the outcry. Don't we have a right to pray that? We have that right. In fact, we have the responsibility to pray for others, to pray for evil. We have the responsibility to pray God touch the evil. He's saying that. He's saying the outcry. See, God hears the outcry. And it was so great that he went down with Abraham. He's walking with Abraham. And he tells him what he's going to do. God asked himself a question. Did he not know, or did he just want the readers to see his thoughts? He's talking to Moses. Moses is writing this down. God tells Abraham, the outcry against them, their sins are great, and the prayers of those who suffered so much. The prayers and the outcries, Lord, help us, protect us, save us. The Lord, the lost victims cry out, just like we do every Sunday when Zippy sings God Bless America. Just like we do when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, we're praying for us. Just like we do when we pray for our families and our friends who don't live anywhere near us. The outcry. Amen? Prayers. The outcry, Lord, help us. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. The two men leave God, and this is really cool too. If you've got to understand, this is so cool. If it happened to you, what would you do? The two men left, and Abraham stood still before the Lord. Anybody ever read that? I mean, think about that, Jim. The two angels go, and Abraham's with who?
Jesus.
Jesus, by himself. I mean, you know, you got folks at Walter and Gene sitting together.
Abraham is next to Jesus. He's standing right there. How you doing? Been a good day? Did you enjoy the meal? How was the food? He's standing with Jesus. And he's thinking, he trusts me. God. I love that. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, God,
I asked you before, would you pray for people who were wicked?
He's saying, God,
would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?
Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? He's praying for Sodom, for the evil.
And he says this, far be it for you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked, for far be it from you, shall not judge of all the earth do right?
If you were alone with Jesus, would you have that kind of confidence? Say, you can't do that. Are you going to do that?
Would you spare it if there were 50 good people in New York City? Would you spare New York City for those 50 people? I know there's evil that you can't even believe in New York, Chicago, wherever you want to say. I'm just picking on New York. I love New York. It's up to you, New York. I'm just saying. But would you pray for that? If there were 50 righteous people in New York right now, would you pray for that? For all the city to be saved? That's what he's saying. All the city. If there were 50. And God said, yep, all right, okay, suppose there were 50. He said, all right, I'll do it. So the Lord said, if I find Sodom in New York 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. How much is the place?
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. So then Abraham humbles himself, which you ought to do if you're talking to God. He said, I am but dust and ashes. Well, that's really humbling, right? He's just saying, I'm just ashes and dust and dirt and nothing. But let me ask you another question. How about 45? And God said, yep, 45. I'll do it. I'll save the whole city. And he said, well, that's good. All right. Come here. How about like 40? Okay. If I find 40 people, I'll save the entire New York City. If I find 40 people. Okay. What's that show, Columbo? Remember Columbo?
Yeah.
He always had that one more, but he said,
just one more thing.
35. Do I hear 35? 20. When's Jesus going to get like, enough is enough? He got down to 10. Hallelujah. I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak for once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking, and Abraham returned to Sarah. Hallelujah. He negotiated with God. Why did he stop at 10? Do you think if you said 5, the Lord would have said yes? Faith said 1. He stopped at 10. Amen? And God said, if I find 10 people in New York, I'm not going to destroy it. Would you pray that much for New York City? Would you pray for evil like that? Because remember when he said, if I find 10 people there, 10 righteous people, I will save the entire city. Pretty serious, right?
Did he have 10 friends there or something? Or 10 relatives?
The two angels alive, right? Yeah, you gotta be careful with that. This is Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen?
I'm telling you, I got so many notes, I hope I got the right notes. I mean, I'm going to do Sodom and Gomorrah, and I said to myself, everybody knows that story is going to, there's nothing new you can tell them. I'm already on page 4. I got 10 pages here that we're not going to get to, and we're not even going to get to the part that I wanted to get to. That's why I started the study. That's God. I love it so much.
Praise the Lord. Well, let me get ahead of myself for a second. So he's praying for these people. Does that mean he agrees with the sinners?
No.
Does that mean he supports the sinners?
No.
Does that mean he's like, I know he's got compassion and stuff on the people. But this, you know, he's praying for the entire city. So people can say, well, I guess the sins aren't too great because he's praying for them. Of course it doesn't. Your answer is 100% right. He's praying for the righteous. Unfortunately, with the righteous will be the sinners. Thank God for that. He's doing what he's doing. That's just amazing. It's just so powerful. So Genesis 19, it gets really good. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. And he bowed himself to face the ground. These are just two angels now. These are the same two angels that were with who?
Jesus.
You got it now. Give yourself a big hand. Come on. I like that. Come on. Servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. The My Sandals guy would have made a mint back in that. The My Sandals guy's got his own store now. You see that?
Yeah.
He's got a whole store where he sells his blankets and his sheets and his doll island, my pillows. He had a trick thing on a couple weeks ago. I smiled. I told my wife, he had one where you buy one, you get the second at half price. So you get two, right? And now he's got one, buy one, get one free. I said, isn't it like that, getting one at half price? Isn't that like the same thing? If you buy one, get one free. If you buy one, you get one, I don't know. Good guy. I regress. Yes, better. Wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. John, did you ever think about that? The angels eating? Did you? How many of you ever thought about angels eating? You see how God works? You see how common? You're going to be resurrected someday, but you're going to be in paradise with the angels, and guess what you're going to be eating? I don't know if that bothers exciting to you, but it's interesting to me and exciting that we're going to be normal people. We're going to be people who have to eat and have to drink. Isn't that good? I learned that from Sodom and Gomorrah. I think it's a good idea. You're going to have apple pie and cherry pie, and you're going to drink a little wine. You're going to have roasted lamb, and you're going to have all sorts of things. Because you're going to have to. Because you're going to be alive. You're going to be raised alive. I love that. I know your pastor's nuts, man. I love that. And they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. This is why I can tell you that the outcry to God did not come from Sodom. Because the word says every person there, all good and young and old, were there and they were doing all this nasty stuff. The outcry was from other people in other places, just like you for New York. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, and they called the lot and said to them, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. Okay, here we go. The men of Sodom, it says old and young, amen? That pretty much covers it?
Yeah.
They surround the house, that pretty much covers it? People from every quarter, right? Uh-huh. Every part of Sodom, that citizens of Sodom. They're given over to violence and immorality. Amen? Amen? No one left to push back, no reason to stop, no punishment, no judgment. You know what the Bible says? If you don't have judgment, if you don't have laws, then people will continue doing more evil and more evil if there is no justice for those who commit the crime. That's what the Bible says. Now you're looking at this entire city. There's no morality. There's nothing. Nobody left to push back. Defund the police has happened. They have nobody in charge, nobody in control except the people. And the people have lost their mind. This has little to do with choice, gay or straight. Let me say that again, because a lot of people think this Sodom and Gomorrah is about homosexuality. In a sense it is, but it's not. This is total perversion. Total perversion. That we should all agree on, amen? I don't care what you think, what you feel, and how you feel about anything. This, what we're looking at in Sodom, is total perversion. Let's get the guys out of your house. All these people want to go out there because they want to know them physically. Amen? There is no love. Can I get an amen? There's no compassion, no caring. Pure lust. These men were lust, lost in lust. Paul calls it burning lust, a debased mind. That's what the Bible said. That's what these people were, with a debased mind. This is far beyond homosexuality. Amen? This is perversion at its best. Burning love. And I say this, and I say this, standing on truth. Anyone who says our Bible does not mention same-sex relations are simply wrong. I'm sorry. That's the whole truth. But I also say this to all believers. Be careful to not point fingers at others. I say that again because it's easy for us that we're righteous, we're Christians. We do everything right. None of us make mistakes anymore because we're Christians. We never say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, feel the wrong thing, think the wrong thing, because we're perfect. Well, Lily is. Because the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. How many here want to be judged by that God, that wrath? I don't. So there could be no hate in our hearts. Simply amazing grace from God. Understand? We don't point fingers. But that no hate in our hearts. You know, this is what I want to say right here. That's one thing the world misses and fails to recognize or understand completely. When they look at a Christian, they don't understand. There's no hate in our hearts, nor there should be. There should never be any hate. And we should not be pointing fingers at everyone. Because God says one sin to another sin is sin to God. If you fail short, if you fall short on anything, you fall short on everything. If you understand that, then you can't point fingers. God sees our hearts always. Though we have no hate, we must always be ready to stand on the word of God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Ready to not accept the sin, as we should always be ready to accept the sinner. In that case, there can be no compromise. Let me say that again, because I have to say this. I have to tell you that, because I'm giving you the whole truth. There can be no compromise on that. Sin or no sin. If it's sin, it's sin. There's punishment for sin. And I say this, and I circle the words on my sermon. Anyone searching for God should and will understand that. We fight the same battles right up to our salvation day. To stay right. Anybody that you meet, I don't care what lifestyle they're living, if they're searching for God, if they're truly searching for God, they will understand that. But you have to know this too, please. The world will never accept that. Believe that. Expect that. Never. There is no God in their search for anything or anybody. They're lost in their own minds. Understand, those men of Sodom, there was no God. They had a debased mind. Amen? Sexual gratification is not love. Love is not as much about self as about another. Selfish desires are not love. We give love to another. We show love to another. Love is given. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm sorry, I know we got food, but I got to get at least one good part here. I just love this. So, Lot went out to meet them. He wants the people. Amen? These people want the angels to send those two people up. So, 19:6, Lot goes outside to bargain with them, to negotiate with evil. Can I get a hallelujah? This is crazy. Lot tries to appease evil. How many of us have tried to do that? How many of us have tried to talk to somebody who hates God like they're going to listen to you? It's a waste of time. He goes out to try to negotiate with them. He wants to make a deal with the devil. He pleads with them, please do not do so wickedly. And then he does the unthinkable.
He offers his two daughters to the men in exchange for the women. Has he lost his mind? Yes! He's crazy! By trying to reason with them, he falls completely into darkness. And I wrote this, is this the man that Abraham was trying to save? Oh, wait a minute. Let me bargain with you, evil. Don't take these two guys. Take my daughters. They're pure. They're virgin. I'll read two scriptures and I'm going to let you go. I got more, so come back next week, because the part I want to get to you is going to be next week. If you don't come next week, you'll never know, because you won't read it. By trying to reason with those two, the people, he falls into complete darkness. 1 Corinthians said, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Corrupt means becomes morally depraved. Guess what Lot did? He became morally depraved. If you start arguing with these people, evil people that hate you, that want babies dead, you're going to sound evilly depraved because you're going to sound like a fool. And the Bible says in Proverbs, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Arguing with those people will be a waste of your time. You're throwing pearls to swine. That's all these things the Bible means. He became like them for a moment. He offered his daughters. He made a deal with the devil. We do that all the time, making little deals. Praise God. So if anything today, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. You become completely morally depraved. And that's what Lot did. Amen. Give God praise. There's so much more. Down and everybody eat like the angels. There's so much more, and I didn't even get to the part. Don't argue with a fool. You're going to sound like a fool. Oh, if he walked with us even a half a mile. One block. Walk around the block with us. I mean, what would you say? What would you say if he told you something he was thinking that the world didn't know, that he told you something he was planning to do? What would you say? It's so critical. And the fact that the angels ate, they're just like you and me. They sit down, they have to have a meal. They have to have something. That's what we're going to be. We're not, nothing's going to change except we're going to be in paradise in a place so beautiful. That's where your joy should be full, amen? Amen? And it's all because of Jesus. That's it. Took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. Said, this is my body being torn for you. He said to eat this, but do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Cleanse us, Lord, from all iniquities this morning. Let our hearts be pure. Let our hearts be clean this morning. We come to you, Lord. Jesus, you sit at the right hand of your Father, and you say to come to you, asking for forgiveness and asking for healing and asking you for your love. Cleanse our spirits today, Lord, so we can receive this morning in the purest of ways as you pour the wine into a cup, saying this is your blood being shed for us for the remission of our sins, Lord. We believe and we do this in remembrance of you, in Jesus' name. We sing God Bless America, we need to mean it. But if God blesses America, understand people who don't deserve it are going to receive blessings. We ask God to bless New York City. You've got to understand that there's people living in that city who don't know God, who don't care about God, who are going to receive blessings. That's okay. Maybe one blessing to one person who didn't know God will lead them to God. Amen? Maybe one miracle in their life, one person who says one thing to them will change their life forever. If we don't say it, it won't happen. If we don't praise God, nobody will. If we don't tell people about Jesus, nobody will. So we pray for them just like that. You go to God when we sing today, sing it with your heart. God bless the United States of America. I don't care who receives the blessings, Lord. Because when you bless us, we're all in a better place. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. This is a beautiful story. It continues next week, if you want to know. I'm not going to tell you.
God bless America. Oceans, life will fall. God.